Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Morning 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the program. All you gotta do is text me and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it may be that is on your mind. Coming up on the program here in about 30 minutes, our Wednesday regular, Joy Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from former state senator Dick Brubaker. So stick around for that. Recap the news here. We're talking a lot of Iran. Trump, you attack a ship, you lose a bridge or a power plant. Does the creating chaos inside Iran, does that cripple this regime? I'll say this in real quick that I, you know, a lot of what Iran does, the death to America chants, and they have created the boogeyman here to rally their people around, and it's Israel. It's the United States. So I don't know that you necessarily could take this into account when trying to determine how much of a threat they are, because the way they talk, you know, all hat, no cattle. But clearly what we're doing isn't working. And does anarchy solve the problem? Like, is Libya a threat? It's chaos, and you had some ISIS or, you know, some movements there that were very radical and capable, I guess, of when they aren't fighting among themselves, of causing turmoil. Syria, does that same, would that same philosophy work in Iran? And that's where this is headed. That seems to be where this could go. Another basket case, chaotic state, that they're too busy fighting amongst themselves for power and control, that they're not going to interfere with shipping traffic and shipping lanes in the Strait of Hormuz or the Persian Gulf, or funding terrorists in Lebanon or the Gaza Strip. But I don't think wiping out the leadership didn't do much. It's a surprise, because, you know, if you're looking at this, when this conflict began and you said they were going to wipe out the top 10 figureheads in the Iranian government, what do you think is going to happen? What would you have said? Well, that's the end of them. But they're still, they're very persistent, and you can't really negotiate with them. They're not honest arbiters. They're not honest actors. So we can't really just kind of do these half measures. Hopefully there's no effort to invade. But that's what this sounds like. They're going to start looking at Plan B, perhaps, regarding Iran. But that's dominant in the news right now, nationally. Something that really not really in our purview here. I guess the other big story I see trending, all the layoffs at ESPN. We have some ESPN viewers here. I can't remember the last time I watched a full episode of SportsCenter. I think that this is maybe indicative of the whole woke business model. They're not getting the ratings. They're overpaying for rights on some sporting events. The business model of the media here is what I'm talking about. Now, to cover news It's not like you purchase the rights to cover the RNC or the DNC. There is some expense associated with it, but you're not buying the exclusive rights to the college football championship. Only time I think that's ever worked was when, and this was a long time ago. So we haven't always had Fox. We haven't always had the big Fox. It was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And when Rupert Murdoch launched Fox, and he started to bring on board affiliates around the country, there were some holdouts, some places that didn't have a Fox affiliate. And what did he do? He purchased the rights to the Super Bowl. And people, you know, then it became, well, we must have Fox in our market now. So I think ESPN was like, well, we'll buy the exclusive rights to these sporting events, and people will say, well, I gotta subscribe to ESPN on my cable. And it just hasn't worked that way. Look, they're owned by Disney, but they've strayed off from their path. I mean, how much NBA coverage and how much WNBA coverage? All this trying to insert this social agenda in sports, trying to change the world through the culture of sports. It's just not working. I think that's part of the reason for their business model being a failure. So, I mean, you had some longtime talent get laid off. And I just think that's a trend that's going to, you're going to see it throughout the media landscape. But happy to talk about that as well. I found that interesting. Good morning, Jeff. This is from Angie. I would like you to ask Austin Sidwell to expand his thoughts on defunding Social Security by selling our data to tech companies. Sorry, I missed that earlier. Maybe he's still listening. Leo, why do people talk about Social Security fund going broke, but they never talk about the welfare fund going broke? Why is that? Is it possible that we spend on entitlements, the obligations on entitlements are outpacing those with social welfare programs? And it's interesting, if you talk about the politics, that, you know, it's not necessarily an 80-20 issue with welfare reform. But it does seem to have a lot of public support. It does seem to be one of these things where people could get on board with fixing welfare and putting in work requirements and things of that sort, things of that nature. So, with that being said, you don't get the same sort of response when it comes to these entitlement programs, especially Social Security, where people have been paying into it all their lives. It's a mismanagement situation. And anytime you want to tinker with it, the politics make it as such where anything you want to do, well, you're trying to take the checks away from retirees, from senior citizens, and give them to the rich. You know, it's something just so devoid of any honesty, a good faith effort, a good faith attempt to do things, and it's immediately demagogued. So it just continues to spiral out of control. Derek has a lot to say. Let's see. So that his was qualifications to be senator, that if that was the bar, that Jasmine Crockett would be a great candidate for Texas governor. Well, she wasn't a senator. She was a congresswoman, and her qualifications were that disqualified her. She was a Democrat that couldn't win her own primary. Derek, this isn't, you're not going to take this well, but Tommy Tuberville's the gubernatorial nominee because people of the state said, the Republicans at least said, that he was qualified. So, you could go out and vote against him. You had the opportunity on November 3rd to vote for Doug Jones. You hold your own destiny here. And you could say that he's not qualified because he won a few foosball games. But a lot of people disagree with you, and I suspect more people disagree with you than agree with you. He says, war. This was the easiest presidential term ever. Just rebuild our broken country. Sean should have sold out his giant scissors and shovel. Just cut a big ribbon every week. What did we get? All the candidates running and more of what we want. Nobody wanted. Don't be shocked when the votes are tallied. I'm telling you, watch out for AOC. I don't think AOC is going to be president. Lloyd says he's very impressed with that guy, referring to Austin Sidwell. A named Texter. Best thing ESPN has done in years was getting rid of Ryan Clark and know-it-all Scam Newton. I never got to watch a lot of that show with him on First Take because my show's on the same time. I'd have it on. I don't know. They expected him to survive the cuts, and then he didn't. Maybe it's just asking for too much. Who knows? But I think like the Carl Ravitch, the some of these guys that are just sort of household names in ESPN circles are getting the pink slip. I mean, there's cuts everywhere in media right now. It's a tough business to be in. The ESPN business model is a self-inflicted wound. That it got woke. It got away from its mandate to do sports, and they tried to do more social justice. And they started broadcasting slop nobody wants to watch. Do we need 5 NBA shows? Do we need, whatever it is that they're using to kind of keep the wheels spinning? People just don't watch it. You don't need to watch SportsCenter. You just go to a website or whatever, and you get the scores and the highlights. And in some ways, it's kind of an antiquated thing. But then the business model, the balance sheet just didn't add up. That they were overpaying, I think, for a lot of rights to sporting events, driving that price up. And weren't able to sell it. A lot of that's just the marketing pressures. I think some of the woke culture you see in places like that is it's these know-it-alls who sell or who buy the advertising, who buy the time, who want their company brand. Think there's virtue in ESG, DEI. And so they tell, they ruined NASCAR by doing this. They're trying to create a brand that I don't think people are buying. More on that in a moment. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the show. Still to come on the program next segment, Joey Clark will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. Butter and I, Trump said, we got this because Iran was going to have a nuclear weapon in days. I don't think there's any getting out soon until we achieve everything. There will be at the Democrats take over. They'll just defund it. Nothing Trump can do is, there's no merit in anything he does. And if the Republicans lose in November because of Iran, then it will end. Or they'll fight about it, and it will have a conclusion. Maybe not the conclusion that a lot of people had hoped for. Fire Dog, we probably had our best chance to overthrow the government before we let 40,000 descendants get killed. That is an army that could have been equipped to take over Tehran. Now they're all gone. Who's left? I mean, is that Fire Dog? You know better than I would. Can you arm protesters? Do they know how to use the technology? Do they know how to fire a gun? Things we take for granted. If you just put arms in protesters, does it lead to? I mean, do they? I'm not sure. There's a lot of trust there. Austin texted this in responding to Angie's question. I have talked about taxi tech companies' revenue that could be attributed to data collection. I mean, that tax revenue directed to Social Security gives people something in return for all the data that is being sold, used, and can help fund Social Security without taxing individuals small businesses even more. So there's the answer to your question, Angie. I hope that helps. Let's see what we got here. Old guy writes, if Iran had no electricity, no refinery, and no communications besides pigeons, no water, no transportation, no means of growing food or buying any, we wouldn't need to worry about shipping in the straits. Killer Bees, the people on Fox News saying Trump is a heroic for this war sound like the people in MSNBC saying Biden was fit to run again. Both are full of you-know-what. Toothless Bammer, ESPN Live Sports is all they had, and they got overpaid for that. These studio shows are unwatchable. Ryan Clark was fired, not laid off. Epic arguments with others, and AF work habits. Well, I watch. I have it on a lot. It's just kind of going on in the background. These shows that they air on in the morning, the Get Up, First Take. They just don't seem like they seem very popular, I guess. The other shows, the afternoon, I don't know who's watching a mid-July full hour of NBA coverage. They have spent way too much time on trying to figure out where LeBron James is going to play next year. Is there a market for that? Now, I'm not an NBA guy. But it's the middle of baseball season. They are showing, they're gotten back to showing regular major league games. They do a good job on NFL and college football. College basketball, they do okay. They do a little hockey. They've totally given up on auto racing. But that's not exactly what it used to be. And they do a decent job airing a lot of college baseball games. But their commentary shows are not a reflection of their programming. And how much interest is there in NBA and WNBA? How much can you make that go? My favorite show growing up was Baseball Tonight during the summer when I got to watch, TV when I was out of school. We didn't get all the baseball games like you do now. And they just totally abandoned that. Some of the NFL shows, the college football shows are okay. And you try to look at their podcast and ESPN Radio. It's like a one trick pony. And when they talk about other sports, they just aren't knowledgeable. They've made a decision. I just think they're way too myopically focused on one sport, professional basketball. Gary writes this. What happened to all of the Social Security money people that died before drawing? There's got to be hundreds of thousands of people like that. Yeah, but people are living longer. So that that's the problem with Social Security, that when it was first established, they didn't account for life expectancy to increase as much as it did. So it is, it's costing more than what they had anticipated. Squirrelverine, people harping on Tuberville being coach, ironically, haven't followed anything he has done in the Senate. I think it's just a chronic malcontent thing. Mike, you had 60-plus million people watching the World Cup final. I would bet that ESPN doesn't get 60 million to watch all WNBA games for the entire season combined.
During a combative Senate appropriate.
So that's that. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Coming up here in about an hour, Dick Brubaker, former state senator and a regular on the Jeff Porter Show. But joining us now on the line, also a regular, you hear him this, about this time every Wednesday on the program. Joey Clark is with us from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Also, you can read his column at 1819 News on Tuesdays. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well. How exhausted are you from trying to keep up with Iran and trying to care?
I found myself at peace with it of this is what a mess. And all the folks that say, you know, you think you're going to have a quick war were right. But now that you're in the middle of it, I mean, we'll see. Like, I'm not ready to say it's George W. Bush all over again, but we're past, we're what, 2 weeks past the 4th of July?
Yeah.
And it's, the gas prices are going back up. And you know, and Trump said something interesting on the tarmac. He's like, people aren't against the war. They don't like high gas prices, but they're not against the war, which I guess in theory is right. But folks tend to vote their pocketbook. And you know, Trump, I guess, said this morning, for every ship they shoot at in the Strait of Hormuz, we're going to blow up one bridge or power plant possibly near Tehran. I'm like, just what's the holdup here? And anyway.
The other thing that's a little cringy, I think, try to nuclearize the Saudi Arabians. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
No, that's not a good idea. You're talking about with the Houthis doing the
well, so this
blockade.
Is the headline. Trump approves deal that could let Saudis enrich nuclear fuel. So I guess the idea there is this is expected to be announced later today. 30-year deal to enrich nuclear fuel for civilian reactors because they don't have enough energy in the nation of Saudi Arabia. But a nuclear Saudi Arabia, if misused, and I you know, I think it's a stable regime. And generally friendly, but you know, is that a good counterbalance? I don't know.
I can maybe in game theory understand why they're doing that, but I don't like that at all. I didn't even know about that. I was preoccupied this morning. That's awful. I don't want to see that happen.
No, and you know, they certainly can afford to do it, but why? So that's to be determined. And the idea that we're going to take out a bridge or some infrastructure, you know, it's kind of talking about this. So the U.S. approach, and it goes back regardless of, you know, Republican or Democrat presidents. We've toppled a lot of regimes, Iraq, Syria, Libya, hostile regimes. And it descends into chaos. They fight amongst themselves. Maybe an ISIS-affiliated group comes into power or something. But generally speaking, when these nation states are in this chaotic state, they don't pose quite the threat that they maybe they were either or perceived to be or that they actually pose. So I was kind of wondering, like, What if Iran descends into chaos? You know, I know there's a lot of people there and it's a little different than anywhere else. but let them fight amongst themselves.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, just such a big country. Like, what sort of spill off and spin out effects do we have from that? Like, for instance, like Libya, failed state, you see the massive migration crisis that really is changing the face of Europe in a lot of ways. I think it wouldn't be a threat. You're right. There wouldn't be no more, say, nuclear or military threat. But, you know, it still doesn't take that much to block up the Strait of Hormuz, which is still remains the big issue. And my sense of listening to the vice president last week is there are a lot of pragmatists in Iran, but every time the pragmatists gain ground talking to the U.S., the hardliners freak out and go even crazier. And so I don't know. I think it's maybe there's a threshold where you kill enough hardliners and you put enough hurt on them that the pragmatists have an upper hand and they say, okay, we got a deal here. But you're right. If that's not the case, you're right that the failed state option. So I think what Israel has long wanted, I think the Gulf Arabs wouldn't mind it too much. But I just wonder, with a country of 90 million people, where it sits in the middle of the world, like a failed state, what sort of monster might spring out of that? What sort of terrorist threats start to spring out of that? You never know. And not to mention, you maybe didn't get the energy problem fixed if the Strait of Hormuz keeps getting hit by drones.
Well, yeah, and just like if they're fighting amongst themselves for control of this country, are they meddling in Lebanon and in the Persian Gulf, et cetera? But I'm not crazy about that either. But, you know, you start hitting infrastructure, take out their power, take out their ability to feed their people, take out their ability to communicate. That's where this goes.
Yeah, and it's also like there's just – it's such a roll of the dice when you clear the table like that. Like, think about just Russia, Ukraine, and how dynamic and interesting and unexpected that war has been. And especially with the latest technology with drones and AI, it doesn't mean you don't have to have a lot of money to spin up some pretty nasty weapon systems. And if small groups either fight over Iran or decide that, you know, some crazy Shiites take the fight around the world, I don't know. It just, you got to be vigilant on all these options, but it might be where we're heading, which is unfortunate. But the bottom line is, I think Americans really don't care in terms of, like, if I looked at a list of top priorities and top issues, I don't think this would be at the top.
Joined by Joey Clark. He is a host on News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Also a columnist for us at 1819 News. Believe it or not, we dabbled in some sports ball today, Joey, but it's more about the media. And so ESPN laid off a bunch of their – I wouldn't say necessarily – it's not like they're laying off McAfee or Stephen A. Smith or anybody like that, but they laid off some pretty big names yesterday. And looking at, like, the media in general, but this particular instance, sports media – it's become something that people just don't – when's the last time you sat down and watched an entire episode of SportsCenter?
Oh, my gosh. Probably decades. Like, for that went away first, I think, around late in college for me. So that would have been either like 2010, 2011. Now, that might have been more me. But I could already start to feel the change, because as a kid, I sports was everything for me, especially when I was playing all the sports as a kid, baseball, basketball, football. You wanted to watch it all. And, you know, I'm a 90s kid, so you got to watch the Bulls and, you know, all the great quarterbacks of the 90s, from Favre to Elway to all the great Auburn, Alabama football. I mean, it was awesome. But this is a weird pull. You jog my memory. You know, the fella who's a good writer, but he's such a huge lib, Aaron Sorkin, who wrote West Wing. The show he did before West Wing was a show called Sports Night. And that is sort of, there's a lot of Sorkin-esque liberal crap in it, but it's still a well-written kind of stage play show, but it's all based around two guys who essentially do a SportsCenter-like show. And if you go watch that, that's what SportsCenter used to be with, I'm thinking of Stuart Scott, and I'm thinking of, like, just straight up sports. Here are the highlights. Here's some funny lines about the highlights. We maybe once in a while do an interesting interview, and we move on. And now here's some actual sports to watch all day, to where SportsCenter was like the one stop. Now it seems like SportsCenter's always on, and half the time it's a panel sitting around a couch talking about something without, I'm like, where are the sports?
Well, they're talking about, like, I think they're focused on, they become myopically focused on the NBA. And I don't think that is, I mean, necessarily, you know, there's a market for that. People care about the NBA, but that they just, they're not equipped to talk about other sports. They've abandoned motorsports. They do a bad job with baseball. They do a decent job with the NFL and college football. They show a lot of other things that you wouldn't ever see anywhere else, like college baseball and things like that. But, like, they try to, like, implement, like, these social justice threads. Yes. And I just, you know, that ESPN now has this reputation for being a liberal network. And you don't need that. You could just go find all the highlights and clips, and you go to a website or social media. They're all there. So, like, the business model, some of it's self-inflicted, some of it's just creative destruction, but they continue to make the same mistakes.
Yeah, like, and since I, you know, I'll tell your audience to start living with my grandfather, even though the man's now legally blind, he still wants to watch sports ball, all different types of sports, from baseball and basketball to he wants to watch softball and he wants to watch golf and bowling. And so we're always looking at, especially ESPN, and he has his alarm set to Pardon the Interruption, which I remember that as a kid. I'm like, okay, there's a consistent show, and those two old fellas are still going at it. But I don't mind that sort of talk show. But what's coming to mind is not just ESPN. I think it's all the sports world. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems there's so much more glitz and glam and production about the human interest side.
Yes.
As opposed to just the sports.
I mean, bring back the, like, former jock or the you know, sports writer who was, you know, kind of just very, very focused on that sport, didn't care about anything else going on in the world. And now, you know, everything's, we got to have this, there's a lot of DEI, and I don't know, it's impacted the programming in a profound way.
Yeah, like my favorite show, I would wake up early on a Sunday. I think it was called NFL Matchup with Susie Colburn and like a few other fellas. And like it was just straight X's and O's for 30 minutes. And I freaking loved it. I'm sure there's still segments like that on ESPN. But I don't know. More of that and less about, you know, somebody's mom and his great relationship with his mom.
Like, yeah, and then overcoming awesome, some kind of hardship that led to success in sports. I mean, there's only so many of those stories, and then people kind of lose interest.
Right. If it's a really, you know, once-in-a-lifetime story, yeah, cover it. But I think there's way too much of that fluff. And yet when I you know, like I said, watched a lot of ESPN with my grandfather, we would put on Around the Horn before PTI would come on, and that's when I really noticed the liberal slant and just DEI craziness. I'm like, no wonder this show's being canceled.
Yeah, and that show had a good run.
Yeah.
20 years or something, but it's just not, there's no market for that. And, you know, if you want that, I mean, there's 100 million podcasts now about sports and sports ball. And so some of it's just technology, but they just never adapted to the times. And they thought, well, we could use the power of sports to change the world in a positive way. But people reject that. They don't want that. They don't want kneeling for the national anthem. They don't want any of that nonsense, and these guys, they're refusing to get that message to their own demise.
Yeah, and I mean, there's now a lot of competition. What with Barstool and like what Portnoy's done, and like so many others, like independent podcasts, where it is really just broing out and talking about the actual X's and O's of the game, and because that's available, you know. And again, I've just kind of faded in my enthusiasm that I had as a kid, but. You know, I still have family members who eat and breathe sports, and like they constantly are recommending watch this or listen to this podcast that has nothing to do with the corporate media.
Well, and I just think it's indicative of the bigger picture media landscape that the marketplaces. I think some of it is enabled, let me say this, by our corporate culture. And they have bought into the ESG and the DEI and trying to create a corporate brand. No one cares about that. They care about the product. And they've allowed these virtue signaling exercises to take a more of a precedent over the, you know, just touting the product or you know, the guys having a good time in their backyard drinking Bud Light or whatever. And now it's become you can't do that anymore. But the TV networks have kind of been forced to go along with it, and probably willingly. But it loses ratings. The advertising dollars are spread thinner these days, and this is why these entities are starting to collapse.
Well, but they still, I think they would have collapsed faster, but they have this monopoly with those long-term contracts to who actually gets the live game. And that's gotten even more funky with all the, it's only on Paramount Plus or only on Netflix sort of thing. So maybe that's broken it up, but I think because there are only so many places that have the money to do those massive, you know, if you want to show SEC football all day, you're going to get the corporates.
Yeah, you're going to get the corporates, but you're right. We're starting to like see, you know, the rights are being divvied up, and now you got to have like four subscriptions to watch an entire season of your favorite team. And, this is going to do harm to the sport itself, and people are just not going to listen on the radio or something, I guess. But they've allowed these advertisers, I think, to really steer the conversation into a place that people don't want with, the human interest fluff. I mean, that is right up the alley of like a Procter & Gamble or something.
And there's also, I think there was this peak of American sports, like corporate media, corporate culture in the 90s, early aughts, where everybody's all, like, even with LeBron James, it's always comparing him to Michael Jordan. There was something about that era that people, I think, still long for. And it's not just sports. I think it was also true of a lot of the music and movie industry as well, where this is dead now. I mean, there are still great movies and there's good music and there's great sports figures, but it doesn't have the same like triumphant shine. Now it seems like oversaturated and, yes, distracted from the actual product.
Yeah. They've gone off the reservation here. Hey, Joey, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Joey, we'll do it again. Well, we won't. We'll be out, but more on that later. Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Moz, the only thing I've watched on ESPN for years has been SEC football, the occasional Monday night football game. They have even started showing cornhole. They do have, so you got all these networks that are kind of like residuals of the pre-internet era. So you have like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News. And what do you air on those channels? They've established a presence on your cable provider. And they haven't divested of them. Now, you know, if you ever used ESPN's app, you could stream like 100 different sporting events, things you would never care about, like Holy Cross playing Temple and lacrosse or something. But what they do, they broadcast some of this, and they've run out of things, I think, to broadcast. They have created the Ocho, a play off the old Dodgeball movie from the early 2000s. And they have like cornhole, and they have all of these like wiffle ball league or like backyard sports. And I kind of wonder how those do if they sell advertising. Somebody's flipping through and they see indoor wiffle ball. We've done it. They used to play, remember World Series of Poker, and every time there would be some kind of replay of the World Series of Poker. But that's what they're filling the airways with at times right now. But I think the big mistake they made, aside from all of the focus on the wrong things and the focus on, fluff, as Joey Clark put it, they've overpaid for rights to these sporting events. A new texter, I can't stand LeBron James. I at his height, he was the guy, but it's becoming kind of, it's tedious. Like, they have game planned the possibility of, like, LeBron James on every NBA team and what that would look like. And I kind of wonder, like, if you're, like, a really big NBA fan, there's got to be a few of you out there. How much are you, like, really concerned with LeBron James' future at this point in his career? I just don't think there's a market for it for anybody, even the most diehard fans. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Somebody take me home.